right. The next agenda item will be agenda item number 12. Workshop and possible discussion on fiscal year 2019 strategic plan and financial forecast by David Thompson. That's not David Thompson.
Our strategic plan is the framework and the background that almost, I guess, everything that we talked about this morning is about. You should see projects that we talked about this morning reflected in what we're going to talk about here in a second. Back in 2007, we brought the strategic plan to the board of directors for the first time. Prior to that, the Brazos River Authority did not have a strategic plan. And about 3 years ago, we thought it would be a good idea to come back and revisit the strategic plan annually, have you, the board of directors, readopt it to make sure that we're communicating, that we're going in the direction that you think we should be going, and that we are going, and that we reflect to you the direction that we think we should be going, to make sure that we're all on the same page, so that when we bring these decisions like we did this morning to you, that you see the consistency in that logic. The meeting's mission statement and the guiding principles that were adopted 3 years ago are still intact. We haven't made any changes. And the goals that we've set haven't changed, but within those goals, objectives and strategies. Goal is Roman numeral one, an objective is a lowercase letter, and then these are our strategies. And what we've done is annually is we review and change and add and delete strategies as is appropriate. In the water, in development of water resources goal, we've added the Lake Whitney reallocation project that we talked about this morning. Plus, there are other surface water opportunities that we're constantly researching and reviewing that hopefully at some point will become a specifically named strategy and that will come to you and ask you for funding support. And the changes in terms of what you're seeing here, the changes that we've made from the prior year are these that are in red. So the rest of this is identical to what you saw last year. We've made a few typos or typographical error and grammatical corrections where, as we go through, we've made some refinements, but we'll focus on the significant changes. In managing water resources, now that we more or less have the system operation permit, we thought that was an appropriate strategy to list in that area. As we look down through the various items that we have in terms of maintaining our infrastructure, one of the things that we had we've been doing for several years but failed to just list here categorically is our emergency action plans at each one of our facilities. Flooding, especially in the wake of Hurricane Harvey and what we saw in the lower basin, has become an element that we're becoming more and more involved in. I guess about a year or so ago, you authorized us to partner with some of the lower basin interests for a study there, and we're engaging in one in the Belton area in Nolan Creek. Under our Protect Water Resources, this is a lot of what Tiffany Morgan obviously was talking about this morning in terms of the candidate listed aquatic species. We have a specific study going on in Lake Limestone. We have a specific study to look at the Brazos water snake and other cooperative activities that we have all relative to maintaining the quality of the water in the basin. We had a significant objective and strategies under our strategic planning and resource management goal dealing with using data that we've been collecting for years and applying that into improving the way that we look at that data to evaluate our infrastructure and to build, start developing a risk-based framework, as David Collinsworth mentioned a couple of times, is the risk assessment process that we're now using to look at projects. We're going to apply that across our entire inventory of assets to look at what they will need to keep them in working condition. We talked to you about this, I guess, when we launched Brazos Basin Now a couple of months ago. Mentioned this, I think, in the GM update, but we've got a new website that informs on water conditions throughout the basin. And I think there's one last one. Nope. So that's the strategic plan. I'll come back here after David Thompson finishes the budget workshop, and we'll have you adopt the strategic plan again this year. And I'm open for any questions.
I don't think this is exactly in there. I know that along the Brushy Creek, they're remodeling the floodplain, and it's moving significantly. We just had bigger rain events, and essentially what's now the 100 year is going to be moved out to where the 500 year is. There's going to be more floodplain. Does that affect us in any way?
I'm going to deflect that to somebody that's more geographically knowledgeable of.
In the past, we've stayed away from really small floodplain studies that looked at soil conservation type improvements, because they usually have some mechanism for collecting taxes or some mechanism for studying and taking care of themselves. And then to determine how that would impact the main stem of the Brazos or those major tributaries is pretty tough. So that's the reason we've steered clear.
Yeah, so Brushy Creek is a tributary that eventually ends up in the Little River. It's, our reservoirs don't impact that area.
Limited flood control opportunity for us.
Right. We have limited control of that area.
I'm just asking.
Yep.
Starship.
So back in April, I brought you the preliminary budget, and now we've done some refinements to get the budget finalized. In your folders, there should be about 6 pages. When we sent the books out about a week and a half ago, there were some adjustments we made to the FY 2020 forecast. It has nothing to do with the 19 budget. And then also there is one page for a strategic plan that we've added in section 2D. So let's talk a little bit about the budget. We're projecting $60 million for next year. 35.4 of it's going to come from our raw water sales. The cost reimbursables is the next largest, and that's where we take care of customers' facilities in a cost pass-through type process. This takes a look at our cost reimbursable customers. Williamson County Regional Raw Water Line is our largest, next to all the waste treatment plants that we have out there. We're projecting $58.7 million in cost. Water supply system is 39.5 of it. Again, cost reimbursable is the $12 million that's matched to the revenue you just saw earlier. This is how we're going to spend the 58.7. Just give you the categories of where we're has it broken out in the pie chart here. Expense assumptions. We're going to have a 2.1 BRA-wide salary adjustment, 2.9 for performance an incentive pay pool. That's a total of about five. That's an average of what we do each year. And we also have a net four full-time positions increased, and that's related to the Sugar Land contract that we just won this year. So taking a look now at the operating programs. The operating programs are different than our capital projects. These are programs that are studies, could be software. Tiffany talked about the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, mussel studies. This is what the programs we're talking about. Now, this is just for 2019, and hers was for 2019 through 2020. Since these are studies and softwares, they don't build out infrastructure. So therefore, they're included in the system rate. We do have some programs like the House Bill 1437, no net loss, that's funded by other stakeholders. So this takes a look at all the different groups, lakes, different types of debt services and operating programs. The largest increase that we have is right here for the federal reservoirs, and that's mainly due to the Corps' increase from 18 to 19 for their eight core lakes. So now looking at the acre-feet that we plan to sell for next year is 633,000 acre-feet. The system is about 59% of it, or about 372,000 acre-feet. So taking these numbers, this is how we calculate our system rate. We take basically the expenses, and I just mentioned earlier that the increase in the O&M expenses is due mainly to the Corps of Engineers increase that we saw. We take the expenses, we back out the non-system water revenues, other supply revenues, we have the rate stabilization reserve that I'm planning to use, and that is, you add back in the debt coverage, and that gives you $28.4 million that's needed in revenue for next year. Divided by the 372,000 acre feet gives you $76.50, a $2.50 increase, a little over 3% increase. So this just takes a look at all the different rates we have. And as you can see, we just talked about the 59% is our system rate holders. We also, the next largest is our two-tier and our utilities. So let's talk a little bit about the capital improvement projects. This just graphically shows that about 60% of it will be for new infrastructure and maintenance of the existing structures, such as our three dams that we have, or three lakes that we have, and then basically the roads, and there's also some building renovations we talked about for this building here. Sure. Oh, sorry.
There's a significant increase in revenue on water sales. What am I missing? Wait a minute. I was looking at expenses. There's a big increase in expenses on the water supply O&M expenses.
Right here?
That's
the Corps of Engineers increase.
I'm sorry?
Corps of Engineers for the eight lakes. We pay for the core lakes.
Okay.
And it was close to $2 million increase.
I just know there's a big jump in it. That's really
it is. It is a big jump. And we go with our budget. If they give us a budget, we put it into our system rate because they could spend it.
I want to address that comment. We also meet with the Corps twice a year to have an honest opportunity to make comments on their budget and make sure that they're billing us correctly and that their projects make sense and that we can stand in front of our customers and somewhat support that number.
Okay, back to the capital improvement plan. And I just talked a little bit about the split of the waters. Here's the detail of the major projects. Allen's Creek is, you know, and Trinity Ground water wells are the two largest on the new water. Then we have our three lakes, road repairs. And I did want to mention one down here for the Williamson County Regional Raw Water Line. It is a project we started with that customer, and it is cost reimbursable. Even though it's in our projects, They do reimburse us back for that. And this is the beginning of the design to replace or to add two more pumps at Stillhouse Hollow Lake. So this just takes a look at our debt, and I just wanted to show you where we stand at the end of this year, August 31st, and it's principally just the principal payoff that we have, but just give you an idea of how much bonds and debts we have outstanding. This just takes a look at the different lines of business, both the water supply and the cost reimbursable. And we're starting off our projected right now, projected, it's not the actual yet, of the beginning reserve that we will have going into FY 2019 is about $80 million. We do take out the rate stabilization reserve out of the beginning, and we have our revenue coming in, expenses, a surplus of 0.8 million, capital projects getting down to $52 million of ending reserves. And if you look at the 90-day capital reserves, which is our 90-day working capital, that's approximately about five times our working capital need. So these are the buckets, and we just talked about the $52 million. As we all know, the rate stabilization reserve is to help prevent spikes in the rates. Contingency reserves is unanticipated, unbudgeted O&M expenses. Working capital, which I just talked about, which is the 90-day water supply expenses, and then the self-insurance, which is basically general liability, workman's comp, other insurances that we might have. So now taking a look at the five-year financial forecast. Here's some of the assumptions we have for revenue. Basically, the rates vary between 3.3 and 3.8 during that five-year period. The raw water non-system is consistent with our current terms of the contracts. As we mentioned throughout the presentation, we're planning on selling the system operation permit water in 2020.
Hey, David, was there any pushback in any of the customer meetings about the increase in price of water? Didn't anybody say anything, complain, or anything?
No, actually the only comment that we received was in the lower basin, and it was a comment that your rates are too low. You're not charging enough for your water to make people conserve or give back water. So, but we didn't have any complaints about our water rates at all. No. And on that note, I thought our meetings were really well attended. We had a pretty decent packed house in all three meetings.
Okay. Thank you.
This looks at our expenses. O&M expenses increased by the historical 10-year index rolling average, and capital improvement projects are consistent with our CIP plan. Now this just takes a look at the 10 years. As we mentioned, between the two periods here, we have about $7 to $8 million increase due to the SysOps sell water. We are planning on borrowing money or starting to issue bonds in the 2021 time period. I will say that I'm trying to maintain the ending reserves in the three range as far as three times our 90-day working capital needs. And this just looks at the projections of the rates. And coming off of what David said, I did have some customers coming back, and they were pleased. The fact is that each year I'm holding pretty much to the rates, and that helps them plan for their long-range forecast as well. I prepared this and got a lot of attention from the customers in looking at what our $76.50 is to out to 2038 of $161 per acre foot. So in this rate increases, these are moderate increases year on year. We do have things like Allen's Creek being put in, Tainer Gates, new wells being dug. So we're able to keep, in our forecasting, we're able to keep these rates on a modest increase and still be able to build out all the infrastructure we're planning on. I believe that's it. Any questions? Turn it back over to Jim.
I'm going to wrap this up real briefly, talking about going out beyond the time frame that that David talked about. Back in 2003, we embarked on two companion projects. One was the system operation permit project, and the other was what we called our lines of business pricing study, in which we retained a consultant who developed a number of things for us. One was a rate model that would help us in defense of a rate case if we ever had one filed against us. And the other was this long-range financial planning model that we use every year. Michelle Jouar on David's staff that y'all met, I guess last meeting, our budget manager actually does this, and I come up and get to talk about it. But it's pretty sophisticated. We've made a number of changes internally to the model since we took delivery of it. But it takes the operating budget. We put in scenarios such as the Allen's Creek project or a project that we might be looking at, and then we stabilize the model using the tools that we have access to, either using our reserves or issuing debt, and some of these things that David pointed out we're going to be doing over the next 5 years. And then we go back in and we just run the iterations, and the primary driver of the model is how do we incorporate $1.5 billion worth of capital projects over the next 50 years, both in development of primarily in development new water and new infrastructure, and how do we keep our customers satisfied in terms of rate forecasts. This is the dashboard that the model produces for us. You can see this chart here. Non-system revenue stays very, very flat in a very narrow line, primarily because as non-system rate contracts expire, as Brad talked about the board policy earlier in this meeting, they convert to the system rate. Our O&M expenses in the water supply system continue to inflate, and we just don't inflate this by just one number such as a CPI. We go inside our budget. Salaries and wages, for example, are inflated by the employment indices. Petroleum-based chemicals and other items are based on a different factor. And so it's a composite of all those factors as we forecast it. And then we look at the issuance of debt. And we toggle back and forth between issuing debt and using our reserves to keep those in balance and to try to solve to a line that's very predictable and is relatively stable. And if you look at this 25 years, and even if you go out to the final slide here over a 40-year horizon, the slope of that line continues to approximate that 3 to 3.5% growth that David talked about. And again, we're doing this by exercising our finances and doing everything we can to give our customers the product that they're looking for, the predictability of them setting their rates if they're a municipality for their retail customers. And that's all the sensitivity that we try to put into it. And that's the end of our presentation. And we can answer any questions.
Director Bell, I stand corrected. At the Upper Basin meeting, we had a customer that has a couple of thousand acre feet of golf course water that they use for a golf course, and they did complain about our water rates going up.
So not significant by any means. You know, I think the management's done a really great job keeping our raw water costs down comparatively. And there is an argument, you know, there's an argument that we are quite a bit cheaper than what we really realistically might want to be. But we've done a good job keeping our costs down. We have mechanisms for that. We have in place reserves for that. The question I would have is that it seems there are a lot of capital projects out there. the saltwater barrier down in the lower basin, some of these other projects, would we be able to do much more than we're doing now if we had additional funds to do it with? In other words, let's say we, and I'm not proposing this, I'm bringing this question up, we've really focused on keeping our costs down, and 3.5% in a certain normalized economy is not realistic, is not a realistic increase if inflation's at 4. But we still favor our customers, and that's who we're serving, which favors the citizens that use the water. My question, though, is there are some really great needs for our water resources. At what point do we ever consider raising costs so that we can employ those important projects?
That's a really good question. And, you know, I also think we've done a good job in increasing our rates so that when Allen's Creek moves forward, we can do Allen's Creek without having that ginormous rate spike or some of the stuff that we're doing on our dam. But also, Director Bennis, I think the key is that our staff spends a tremendous amount of time looking at what those next projects are in a time frame out that we can begin to adjust that rate and bring in those revenues to do those projects.
So get ahead of it.
The interesting perspective is the flexibility that SysOps could provide by putting more water into the system, and those revenues will help fund those projects going forward. So we've got kind of a unique scenario there coming forward. But again, I think our ability to raise our rates but be sensitive to those amounts is going to allow us to do Tanner Gates, Allen's Creek, more Trinity Wells, other projects that we'll talk about one day. So I think that's where we are.
Okay. I don't think we cut back on our on the projects that we need to pursue to play to a system rate. It's a combination of things. I say it's when do we issue debt? Here out here when you're looking at big projects that we're going to undertake, we have a choice that we can make and a decision that we'll come back to you with as to when do we issue debt, where do we leave our reserves, how what is the margin that you feel comfortable with that's within good management practices. We've incorporated any number of projects into this model, but by using all the tools that we have available to us, we don't force it to that line, but we like to keep it on that line. Before David got here, if you remember this graph went out, and then it kind of had a hockey stick look to it,
right?
Because we weren't doing what David has put in place, which is trying to make a predictable, comfortable slope to that line. We were going out and waiting for costs to come to us. He looked at it from his perspective and said, that's not the right thing. Let's gradually work those rates up. In some cases, they'll build our reserves. In some cases, we'll dispatch some of those reserves. But let's be sensitive to our customers' needs, at the same time being able to afford to do the projects that are in their best interest as well. So
I think y'all have done a great job in that respect. And it would be difficult to raise the cost with a 50 or a 9-to-1 reserve.
I'd like to comment on that, though, since we're talking strategy or whatever. Since I've been on the board, I've done a lot of thinking about whom all we are representing. And, we have our customers, and here's this guy with the golf course, and so he's vocal, so you pay attention to him. What about all the people that didn't get a job because an industry didn't come here because they couldn't get enough water? They don't say anything to you, but you're representing them also.
Sure.
So, the cost of water, it's expensive. The cost of not having water?
It's more expensive.
I rest my case.
I've got two questions. One of them specific, and that spike that we see in 2039, I guess, is due to debt issued.
Yeah, and issuing debt, especially system debt, for us is kind of a has an interesting dynamic in our finances. Because of the debt coverage policy that you adopted back in 2007, for every $1 million worth of debt service that we have in any fiscal year, you require us to have $1.3 million worth of net income. And so when you start issuing large amounts of debt, the interesting thing that it does is it drives that $300,000 per million in debt service down into our reserves. And so when you issue a lot of debt, it actually helps to replenish reserves. It's kind of counterintuitive, but the way municipal finance works or government finance works, that's a requirement of the bond industry for us, and it does silly things like that to curves.
And second question is kind of ties in with what Bill was asking a minute ago. We're talking about long-range planning that goes out to 2044. Where in all of this are we, and maybe this is beyond the scope of what we can do with the BRA, but where are we looking at new technologies, things that maybe need to be developed? You know, as the old saying goes, there's no new water being made, but
we have studies ongoing. We have project activities ongoing. There's a project in our projects group that we fund for off-channel reservoirs. We're looking up and down the basin for opportunities to where's the next Allen's Creek. We look at potentially feasible water management strategies, which are looking at the out-of-the-box kind of things. We haven't aggressively studied things like desalination, but it's something that it's an industry and a technology we follow. And when we find those opportunities that are affordable, that are achievable, we'll bring them back to you and we'll incorporate them in here and we'll run those cycles through and see if it's efficient for us from an economic standpoint for our customers and does it deliver a volume that's appropriate for that investment.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I do want to be clear though. We're not letting our rate structure limit our ability to go develop water. When we look at these potential water strategies, if one sticks to the wall, for lack of better terms, we won't let. Obviously, we want to be fiscally responsible and control our water rates, but we won't let an opportunity pass us by that would cause our water rates to go up to provide more water for our basin.
Good. Thank you.
Our objective is to provide water, develop water.
At the same time, do we have the lowest water rates in the state?
Just about.
I would say yes, not having seen everybody's water rates, you know.
I would think so.
Typically, year to year, we are lower.
So are we building up enough of reserve to explore other options if something comes up?
Well, we have the reserve to do that. We also have the reserve to use that funding to pay for parts of Allen's Creek. And at the time when Allen's Creek presents itself or other projects present itself, that's when our experts will get in the room and determine the best way to spend that money, whether it's to spend that money project specific for Allen's Creek or to hold back and save money for other development. But yes, that's the advantage of having the reserves that we have now, Director.
And with our visibility in the capital markets, accessing them is pretty easy, and in current markets, very economical.
24 to 28, big jump on this one. Go back another one. That one. See, we
yes.
go 400. That's Allen's Creek?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
So we take a big hit. In those 4 years, I thought we were going to be building it all this time.
Well, we're working it.
Oh, okay.
Yes, but that's based on.
That's nearing the end of. That would be nearing the end of construction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That 4 or 5 year period of time, you're going to have a lot of costs compressed in a very short period of time, and that's where taking advantage of some of the the borrowing tools that we have, the Water Development Board and some of their programs that are very sensitive to our rate making needs, we'll be accessing that. That $400 million would be paid off over a 35 to 40 year period of time.
Okay.
And that's what allows us to do things like this.
Yeah.
Jim, in the past, you've shown us old rates rolling off. Have we got some old rates rolling off in the next year or so?
21, I know one.
We got
rolls off.
The two mainstem utility contracts? Yeah. Yeah, 2021, we've got another 80,000 acre feet that are going to be converted to system rate. And that's the other thing.
Have those customers, have they come to the mental acceptance that they're going to have to pay the higher rate?
One of them, we converted a contract about 2 or 3 years ago and mentioned this one, and yes, they're prepared. Well, they're aware.
I know they haven't got much choice, but I'm just wondering.
We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Okay.
Most of those contracts are the 2041 contracts, and we'll be living in a different world there, and we'll do everything we can to make sure to try to convert those.
Do you anticipate Do you anticipate raising them to the? Is your goal to?
Our goal will always be to raise those to system rate, and we've been successful in the past. Some of those contracts going forward in the future may not be as easy to convert, but we'll do everything we can
There's
to convert them to
one.
System rate.
There's not.
No, it's a report only.
Anything else?
Oops. No, that's not going to be my problem.